Hello and welcome back this morning to the Grossinger Motors Arena here in Bloomington, Illinois, as the Vandals get set for the dual team state semifinals here as they will match up with the Tolono Unity Rockets here in their first matchup of the day. As Sophie Bowers has already punched her ticket to the individual girls finals, we will have that broadcast starting around 3 o'clock. But as for right now, the Vandals boys team ready to go against the Tolono Unity Rockets. Vandals were winners back in December, so a rematch opportunity here. We will take a break, come back, and be ready for action here on WKRV.
Hello, this is Jill at Driftstone Pueblo in San Elmo, inviting you to come see our large selection of Indian-made jewelry with beautiful turquoise and coral, onyx, mother of pearl, and many other stones. Or check out our Black Hills Gold Montana Silversmith jewelry. While you are here, look at our large selection of beads and craft supplies to design and make your own jewelry. Come see us at Driftstone Pueblo, open 9 to 6, 7 days a week, located at exit 76 off of I-70 in San Elmo.
Looking for custom apparel and promotional products that make a lasting impression? Silkworm Inc. has been making first impressions last since 1981. For over 40 years, businesses, schools, and organizations have trusted Silkworm to deliver exactly what they need when they need it. Quality orders delivered on time with awesome customer service. That's the Silkworm promise. Whether you need t-shirts, caps, bags, or any promotional items, Silkworm has you covered. Call Silkworm today at 1-800-826-0577. That's 1-800-826-0577. Or visit us at silkworminc.com. Silkworm, Inc., making first impressions last since 1981.
Little Lambs Christian Daycare and Preschool recognizes and respects the uniqueness of each child. Right now, Little Lambs is looking for a teacher and a classroom aide. You can find more information on their Facebook page. That's Little Lambs Christian Daycare and Preschool at 717 West Randolph in Vandalia. You can call them at 618-292-0270. That's Little Lambs Daycare and Preschool.
Ready to go from the Grossinger Motors Arena as the Vandals set to take on the Tolono Unity Rockets. We will be starting at 144 pounds. And for the Vandals, it looks like it means Keegan Turner, the 36-10 sophomore, stepping out to square off with state finalist Caden Inman. So a great weight class to start for the Rockets. And Keegan Turner looking to get things started for the Vandals with a big upset here as we're ready for action. Hard snap there from Inman. Both guys moving their feet well so far. Inman looking for an underhook on that right side. Shot attempt there from Caden Inman. We are here from the Grossinger Motors Arena as Jake Stewart, Owen Miller on the call with you in this one. And, what you think of the match last night?
I thought it was a little bit of a slow start for the Vandals, you know. Maybe just a little bit of the nerves coming up here as a team. Some of these kids, it's their first time. And I thought they ended up turning the duel around and put some points on the board.
Yeah. One good thing about starting with the middleweights is you know you have your lightweights coming there towards the end. So, I mean, it doesn't matter if you get into that hole early when you have three state finalists waiting at 13, 20, and 26.
Yeah, that's a tough lineup to end a duel with if you're anybody facing Vandalia.
But Inman getting things started with a high C. He's going to cut the corner, get the takedown, but Keegan Turner in a switch position here. Trying to scoot his hips out, Inman following well, and Inman able to follow and maintain control as he holds on to his 3-0 lead with 45 seconds to go here in this first period. Turner on bottom, trying to work a leg out now as Inman able to get that right leg in. And now he's got Keegan Turner broken down to his stomach, so a tough spot here for Keegan trying to work himself back up. Big key is getting that leg out before you start working up. It's trouble if you start getting your hips up, your head down with a leg in. You're looking to get turned.
Yeah, you're pretty much putting yourself in a worse position than being belly down, you know. At least there you can tend to fight hands and work to build a stronger base.
He's able to get the leg out now, looking for hand control on bottom, Keegan Turner. But running low on time, down to 5 seconds left in this first period. As that will do it for the first. So a 3-0 lead for Caden Inman. As he will have choice now heading to the second. And he will go ahead and choose bottom. So he is set to go underneath. As Inman, he's ready. Keegan Turner covers left side. And chop off the whistle here from Keegan. Inman rotating into a stand-up, trying to find hands. Keegan needs to work for a return here, trying to drop down toward the leg. But Inman able to break the lock and get the escape. 15 seconds gone here in the second period. And now Inman right onto his offense, into a rushing tie on Keegan Turner's left arm, and bumped to a single. Keegan sprawls into a front headlock. 30 seconds gone here in the second period. Inman back up to his feet, tries dropping under for a shot. Keegan with an underhook, but Inman is going to roll out of it and take Keegan's back. Big lift there from Inman, and he falls right into a Turk. Keegan Turner in trouble on his back in the center. A lot of time remaining, 1:15. As Keegan Turner trying to fight out of this Turk position, he's got his leg unhooked, but it will be 3 near fall, it looks like, for Inman. So a 3-0 lead becomes a 10-0 lead here in the first minute of this second period. As we go out of bounds, force the stoppage. Keegan Turner fixing his headgear here. As we're stopped right at the halfway point in this match, a minute to go in the second period. 144, the starting weight class here in the semifinals. So we will start at 150 pounds in the place matching this evening. The Vandals fighting for their first state finals appearance since 2018. And looking for their first championship since way back in 1997. 5 months before I was born, long time before you were thought about, oh.
Yeah.
Well, opportunity of a lifetime here for the Vandals as Inman immediately in on Turner's leg. He decided to give up the escape and right back on his offense, make it 13-1 after that exchange. 40 seconds to go here in the second period as Keegan Turner just trying to limit the damage here, keep it to at least a tech fall. And secure, save as many bonus points as possible here in the early stages of this one.
Yeah, and that's a lot of the strategy that goes into these duels, you know. The name of the game is scoring bonus points and preventing them where you can. And Inman's on top, working a suck back here, and trying to finish his bar. And, yeah, like we talked about, Keegan's doing a good job of just kind of staying in a good position and trying not to give up points.
Yeah, and the matchups are going to be really important. This duel, but especially in the finals, if Vandals are able to move on. Cole City just stacked up and down the lineup, so it's going to be a battle of wits, really, between Coach Clay and Coach Mark Masters of Cole City. As I mean, both these guys, great dual team head coaches, and they'll both come in with a strategy ready to try and win this match.
Yeah, I'm sure both of them have got 2 or 3 different ways they think the duel might play out, and they're ready for all of them.
Yeah, and honestly, it's hard telling what the big swing matches are going to be because both teams have depth to be able to move guys around, get the matchup they want, even if they don't win the toss. So it'll be exciting to see as we get into this. So we're down to 1:30 here in the third period, and we're going to have a stoppage as that will be the near fall and the tech fall here for Caden Inman. So Inman will get the Rockets out to a 5-0 lead here early. A 5-0 lead for the Rockets. We'll move on to 150 pounds. And at 150, you would assume Dylan Hinton. Could also be Dave Kleinick. We'll see what the matchup brings. As Coach Clay heading to the table, we'll see who has to report first. Looks like it's the Vandals' turn to report. And they will send out state third placer Dylan Hinton, the Vandal junior, 54-3 on the season, as there are a ton of Vandals in the 50-win column. I mean, we haven't seen multiple like that in quite a while.
Yeah, 50-win season is just outstanding. And to have multiple wrestlers on the same team achieve that, you know, it's just part of the reason we've had such a great season as a team and why we're here right now.
Yeah.
Individual success leads to the team success here in these big moments. And Dylan Hinton is no stranger to the individual success. He was a state finalist last season, came up just short in the semifinals, but battled his way back to third place this season. And he is ready to go against Holden Brazelton. And these guys met up twice last weekend. Both matches were barn burners as Hinton pulled out the win in the quarterfinals and in the consolation semifinals. No, it was third place match. That was these guys. Yeah, so third and fourth in state battling out once again as Hinton, left-hand high C, is going to drive the action out of bounds and force a reset here, 29 gone in the first period.
I believe these two also faced off in December when the Vandals were at Tolono. Another close match there, so this one's looking like it's going to be a close one.
Yeah, and I mean, December was before Dill really got his offense going on his feet. Last weekend up at the state tournament was one of the best I've ever seen him from the neutral position, at least. We know how dominant he is on top. He's a great bottom wrestler, but his feet is where he's really going to make or break himself over the next year.
Yeah, and the first takedown in the match holds such value, you know. It really sets the tone, and you always want to be the one on attack, you know. It seems like, and Dylan looks like he's going to get taken down there with Brazelton on the edge of the mat.
Really good reshot by Brazelton there off of Dylan's snap, and he's able to drive through a double leg, get the first takedown, and force the action to the edge here. 40 seconds to go, a 3-0 lead for Holden Brazelton.
But, yeah, we just talked about how important that first takedown is going to be, you know. Sets the tone. The person on attack tends to be the one who ends up winning, you know, because you're not defensive waiting on the other person to attack, and you're always the one pushing the pace.
Yeah, and now these last 37 seconds are important because, I mean, you don't want to finish the period on bottom, and Dylan Hinton straight to his feet gets the escape less than 5 seconds after the fresh start as he started with a switch. And able to work his way to his feet, get the escape, and we'll have a stoppage here. A little hand fighting. Dylan got poked in the eye, so a quick reset. As we're down to 23 seconds here in this first period. And expect it to be a highly contested 23 seconds. Both guys taking shots off the whistle. Brazelton reaching for a left-hand single, nothing there. Fake shot, followed by Dill with a fake shot. And now Brazelton, elbow pass into a shot, and he's going to drive through, get the takedown. Kind of an early give there, is Hinton still in on a leg.
Yeah, Brazelton never really circled around to control the hips there, but I guess the refs were looking at the shoulders and looking like at the potential near fall, so they ordered the takedown.
Yeah, still kind of in a tough spot on his hip, heading towards his back, but he was able to recover and get back in on the leg. So now Coach Clay at the table for an explanation, and it looks like the points are going to stay 6-1 after a couple takedowns in the first period by Holden Brazelton, and it'll be Hinton's choice. He's going underneath to start this second period, trailing by 5, and Brazelton smartly going to just go ahead and let Bill to his feet. So 6-2 as we start this second period. Snap, fake, and another snap there from Brazelton as Hinton moving, trying to tie up an arm, looking for a Russian tie. Brazelton left-hand single leg, Dill reshot single, and Brazelton in on another reshot, this time lefty single, as he's trying to get it extended. Hinton into the splits, trying to work his way up. Brazelton diving for that far ankle. Hinton on a wizard, and Brazelton trying to drive the hips down. They're going to stop the action, and no takedown on the edge. So great defense and mat awareness there from Dylan Hinton, as he saved another takedown here. 1:30 to go here in the second. Snap fake there from Brazelton. Brazelton really pushing the pace here early. Now lefty single again. This one's deep. Hinton trying to roll it through. He rolls all the way through, and now he's in deep on his own single leg. Never seen a backwards roll out of that
pretty
before.
Much a backwards roll into a reshot for Dylan there, and he manages to keep Brazelton's offense at bay.
Yeah, he gets back in on a shot, but they go out of bounds. 1:10 to go on the reset. As I mean, you'll see a forward roll as more funk and more scrambling start to be prevalent. But a backwards roll, I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, the forward roll kind of got a little more momentum to it. You can kind of clear your shoulder. Like, you have a lesser chance to get caught.
Yeah, Brazelton looking for a headlock here as Dylan Hinton able to fall on top, looking for the takedown now. Brazelton trying to scramble. Hinton behind the hips, but Brazelton catches Hinton's hips, knocks him to a hip now. So Dylan on his side, Brazelton on top, controlling an ankle. Hinton trying to pass the leg over the top in one of these scramble positions. As Brazelton trying to come over the top, Hinton circling out the back. Brazelton diving back in on Hinton's ankle. Now Hinton's the high man, trying to work his way around. And he's able to get his leg nearly out. He's behind both hips, behind both arms. Brazelton has Hinton in danger, though, trying to elevate that leg. And he's able to catch Hinton's head. We're going to run out of time as no takedown awarded to either guy. That was a dangerous spot for Dylan to be. But no point is better than the takedown and swipes there, at least.
Especially at the end of the period, you know, Dylan kind of gets a chance to catch his breath and come into this third period on the attack.
Yeah, neutral here to start the third. Dylan Hinton trailing by four. Similar spots where he was in the quarterfinal matchup, trailing by four, heading into the third period. He was able to get a reversal, gave up an escape, and got a takedown to win that one.
We'll see what the action brings.
30 seconds gone here in this first period. Brazelton left hand underhook now. Hinton controlling the overhook. Brazelton trying to push Hinton out of bounds. And we're going to go out of bounds, force the reset. 32 seconds gone here in this third period. Hinton shot off the whistle, nothing there. Now he's up into a front headlock, looking for that far leg as Brazelton defending well. He's got Hinton's right elbow controlled. Hinton down to his knees, trying to find a way underneath. Brazelton, good head-hands defense here from the front headlock, and he will force the action to the edge. 103 to go now as come back to center. Hinton, right-hand single leg, trying to find it. Brazelton, good sprawl. And Hinton, righty underhook, looking for an opening as we're down 250 to go. Hinton needs at least one takedown to bring it close, and a turn would put him in the lead, or two takedowns in this last 40 seconds. But Brazelton wrestling defensive here, keeping himself out of risk as we're down 230 seconds. Hinton to the shot. Brazelton has the front headlock. Down 220 on the clock. Dylan Hinton trailing by four, and Holden Brazelton looking for the first win over Hinton this year. As down to 10 seconds, Hinton trying to find some offense. Brazelton has him tied up, and that is going to do it for this one. So Holden Brazelton gets a big win over Dylan Hinton. And the Vandals are staring down an 8-0 hole here after the first two weights. So the Vandals look to reset here as they move to 157 pounds. And at 157, Coach Clay will check the table. As we'll see who Unity decides to send. At 157, and looking at their roster here, 157 could either be Keegan Germano or Josh Heath, as they also have Jacob Ward could bump up, but it's going to be Dave Kleinick for the Vandals and Josh Heath for the Rockets, and Heath right up into an underhook. He's going to drive Kleinick out of bounds and forced the reset. So 5 seconds gone in that first flurry. The Dave Kleinick collar tie, and now Heath with underhooks. He's got double unders trying to get his hands locked, but Kleinick double overs, And now it's deep high C for Kleinick, trying to cut the corner, but they're going to run out of room. He makes his way out of bounds and will force a reset. Down to a minute 38 left in this first period. Kleinick shot off the whistle. He back to the double underhook. Kleinick has double overs, trying to get his hands locked behind. Kleinick bundling him up with the overs. He working the action towards the edge again. Kleinick trying to circle back in, and they'll go out of bounds yet again. So another reset here. 1:21 on the clock. As Dade moving well, circling to his left, looking for an opening. As he fakes a shot, nothing there. Heath looking for a collar tie, trying to get back to his underhooks. Dade Kleinick, right hand inside tie, snap, looking for an opening, nothing there. Under a minute here in this first period. And hard collar into an underhook. Dade Kleinick tried to drive his own underhook, but a hip toss there from Josh Heath is going to get the takedown. As Dade just got himself a little extended, trying to shoot for his own underhook. And now he's trying to work his way off the bottom. Quad pod, heavyweight stand-up here for Dade Kleinick, but Heath will drag him out of bounds. Force a reset again. 34 seconds left here in this first period. The Vandals looking for their first point as a team in this one. As Kleinick set on bottom. Heath covers left side. Kleinick working up to his feet. Quad pod, heavyweight stand up here. As Heath reaching underneath, looking for a wrist. He's got a cross wrist now on Kleinick's left arm. 15 to go here in the first period. Dade with his head on the mat, trying to work his way up. As Heath looking for the near wrist. Dade able to catch a leg, short time, trying to work his way. But he will run out of time here in the first period. So a 3-0 lead after the takedown. And that's how we'll move into the second. 3-0 lead for Josh Heath. As it will be Heath's choice. He's going bottom. So Heath is set on bottom. Opportunity to see Kleinick ride, and we'll have a false start off the whistle. Heath getting a little jumpy here. And no caution for either guys. I think they're going to call that an inadvertent whistle on another mat. Switch try off the whistle for Heath. Kleinick able to follow. Now Kleinick looking for a leg in as he's got to get his hips up here. Heath has Kleinick down to a hip, but Kleinick trying to climb back up. Kleinick a little high here on the leg ride. Heath has one of his arms trapped underneath as Dave's got to pull that left arm out, and he'll be in business trying to work his way up. He's got Heath extended. He's got the legs in. 30 seconds gone here in this first period. Now power half coming here for Dade Kleinick. He's got the left leg in, still very high over the top, and he's going to fall off the top. And they go out of bounds. So just one on the loss control. No reversal there towards the end. The dangerous spot adverted here early. 1:17 to go in the second period. Now a 4-0 lead for Josh Heath. And hard club into an underhook again for Heath. Kleinick trying to throw the underhook by into seatbelt position, down on the wizard, but they go out of bounds and force a fresh start here with 1:03 on the clock. Dade getting to his offense, but it seems like Heath is the one that's setting up the positions and kind of baiting him into it.
Yeah, the underhook for Heath has been like the deciding factor on the feet so far. A lot of Dade's success this season has come from elbow passes, firemen's, high crotches. And so far, he's just been kind of stuck trying to figure out the underhook of Heath.
Yeah, and he's able to get an underhook this time, drive Kleinick out of bounds, and there's going to be a stalling call as Dade Kleinick hit for stalling. Now Dade shooting from space on the reset. Heath has a front headlock, trying to cut the corner. Working for an underhook now on that left side. He's got it. Kleinick overhook with his right hand. And hard snap there from Heath. Drives it out of bounds, and he will drive Kleinick into the scorer's table. as Fox still running. They let a couple more seconds run off. 21 to go on the fresh start. And now they kind of put 2 seconds back on, wait a second to start it. As we're down 2:10, Kleinick got attempt, nothing there. Front headlock now for Heath. Now Kleinick calls into an underhook. Short time, looking for some offense out of it. 5 seconds and into a front headlock, but he will run out of time as we go to third. Dade Kleinick's choice. He's going underneath, trailing by 4. Escaping a takedown here would tie it under the new scoring rule. As Dade is set on bottom, a Vandal sophomore ready to go. Cover here by Heath. And quick spiral ride, trying to put weight on Kleinick's hands. And now Heath with an inside leg lace. Kleinick, hip heist, able to throw his hips over and get the escape. So you start seeing that a lot after Yanni Diakmihalis started getting the cartwheel into wrestling. You see people throwing hips into that shoulder space once somebody gets extended. It's a great way to get out.
Yeah, it is. You know, the guy on top has got a lot of pressure forward, and getting your hips away allows you to create some space. And a lot of times, hop your hips back over, you can even see reversals from there. But
yeah, you see reversals. It just forces a scramble position, and a lot of guys aren't ready for that. But Dade Kleinick gets his escape. He's in on a shot attempt, nothing there, as he's will back out, reset. Dade Kleinick looking for one good takedown here. 1:15 to go, low single try from Dade. As Heath able to get his hips back. Dade reaching around the left side. Heath trying to step over Kleinick's ankle. Dade going to drop him to a hip. And both guys out of bounds. As Heath put himself into trouble trying to step over. But they run out of real estate. 59 seconds to go as we come back center. Dade Kleinick trailing by 3, looking for one good takedown here to tie things up and force overtime. Here is the Vandals still searching for their first win in this dual meet, trailing 8-0 after a tech ball and a decision win by the Toronto Unity Rockets at 144 and 150, respectively. Down 2:35 to go. Kleinick has an overhook on the left side. Hard snap there from Kleinick. And he's going to drive it out of bounds. They're going to hit Kleinick for stalling. So now a takedown won't tie it. He's going to need a takedown and more here after the stalling point awarded to Heath. And Kleinick, shot attempt. Heath trying to come around. And Heath's going to get it. So a desperation shot. Goes nowhere there for Dade Kleinick, and now he faces an 8-1 deficit, under 10 to go, as it looks like Heath is going to be content to ride this one out. But an 8-1 decision win will give the Rockets a double-digit lead, now 11-0, as the Vandals still scoreless through the first three waits. We move to 165. At 165, you expect to see Parker Ray bump and see the Vandals kind of slide their lineup a little bit. Arton probably up to 75, Ross to 90, and just keep everybody moving up, trying to keep the best matchup possible. As we look at 165 for Toronto Unity, they have Abram Davidson, a junior, 45-5. He was a state qualifier last week in the 165-pound bracket. He won his first match before getting dropped to the wrestleback and eliminated. As we are ready to go, it is Parker Ray, and this is Keegan Germano instead. So Parker Ray and Keegan Germano in a matchup the Vandals, I don't want to say need to win here with everything waiting in the wings, but it'd be nice to get some momentum back on their side.
Yeah, as we move into these upper weights, you're definitely going to want to see the Vandals start to pick up some matches just to build on that lead, you know. Coming into the lighter weights and towards the end of the duel, we're definitely going to be able to score some matches with the three solid guys there. And, yeah, like you talked about, just putting some points on the board to give the team some confidence, you know.
Yeah, shot attempt there from Parker Ray, reshot by Germano, and he's able to corral both ankles and get the takedown on the edge. So we're seeing a lot of scoring off of the Vandals' own offense. I don't know if it's a lack of setups or if it's just Bologna Unity's ready and has been working on those reshots.
That was the thing I noticed the most in Dylan's match against Brazelton, is that Brazelton's reattacks were just instant. You know, he didn't have to think about it. Even off of Dylan's own reattacks, he was able to score.
Yeah, I mean, once you get into this high-level wrestling, it takes a couple attacks to score. You've got to be ready to stuff your opponent and get right on your attack, because that's usually when they're opening themselves up the most. But Parker Ray will get the escape, so a 3-1 match as we're back to center, 53 seconds to go. And Parker will get a false start off the whistle, looking for that low single. So on the reset here, 45 left in this first period. Tower tie here from Parker Ray. Elbow pass try there from Germano. And they break tie, reset, 35 left. And it's Parker, right-hand tower tie, left-hand inside tie. Now slide by attempt from Parker Ray, trying to cut the corner. Germano working his way out of bounds, and he'll find the edge as they force a reset, 24 seconds to go. And that's where you see a lot of Parker's offense. Slide bys, upper body attack, and he's got as long and lanky as he is, it works well for him.
Yeah, he grew a lot over the summer, and it's influenced his style, you know. The shots from distance and those slide-bys are really what he's found best this season.
And now Parker Ray working on a right-hand collar tie. Elbow pass there from Germano. And we will run out of time here in the first. We head to the second. Parker Ray's choice, and he will defer it over to Germano. Germano going neutral. So on their feet here in the second, as Parker looking to open up scoring early in this one. Arm drag try there from Germano, nothing going. As they break tie, single leg try there from Parker. Now up into a slide by, nothing there. He's going to drive Germano out of bounds. And no call on that one. A couple of tacks strung together there from Parker Ray as they head to the edge. 1:35 to go in the second period on the reset. Shot attempt there from Parker. Reshot there from Germano. He's in deep on a single leg. Parker Ray looking to splatel it here. And Germano going to roll. Parker Ray rolls it through, and they go out of bounds. No score on the edge. So good defense there from Parker Ray as Germano had that one all but secured. 1:20 to go on the reset. Germano, stutter step, trying to get Parker off balance. Parker, right-hand collar tie, now left-hand over tie. As Parker looking for an opening. Germano doing a good job keeping Parker in front, not giving him many ties to work off of. And now snap, shot fake there from Parker Ray. Nothing going. Germano trying to drive through Parker's underhook with a shot attempt. Nothing there. So we go out of bounds. 51 to go here in the second period. 3-1 lead for Keegan Germano. And we're going to have a stoppage here for blood time. So all Vandal trainer Chris Witten comes out to clean up Parker Ray. We will take a quick break, come back with more here on WKRV.
Hi, this is Monica Chandler from Wilms & Associates. For all your home, auto, business, and life insurance needs, please give me a call at 283-0120 or stop by our office at 411 West Gallatin Street in Vandalia. As an independent agency, we represent several highly rated insurance companies, and we work for you. That's one reason why we are the agency that sets the standard.
The Family YMCA of Fayette County will have their 2025 Grand Raffle Fundraiser coming up on Saturday, March 22nd. Tickets are $100, and that gets two people into the event. Table reservations are also available. Doors will open at 5:30 with dinner and drinks, and live and silent auction as well going on, and it's a chance at winning $10,000. Tickets can be purchased at the Y and from any staff or board member. That's Family YMCA of Fayette County with their 2025 Grand Raffle Fundraiser coming up on Saturday, March 22nd.
Back here from the IHSA State Dual Team Semifinals, and Parker Ray giving up a takedown in that second period as he trails 8-1 as we tick down to the end of the second. 5 seconds left on the clock, and it will be Parker's choice as we head to the third. At this point, you got to expect him to go top.
Yeah, he's definitely looking to put some points on the board. And, you know, he's been real tough on top with legs, and that's a position where you can turn a match around. You know, there's a lot of chain attacks you can string together and score 8 points, essentially.
Yeah, and we already talked about Parker's physique and his build. His lankiness is huge for getting to his legs and getting his offense going here on top, as he's looking for it for sure. Germano up to his feet, trying to roll out, but Parker Ray brings him back down. Germano staying tight underneath. Parker trying to dig that right leg in as he's looking to get it. He's got the leg in now. Now it's all a point of arching his back, really getting Germano extended. And he's looking for that power half on Germano's left side. Germano bellied out. He looks content to try and stall this one out. Parker Ray with a hip over try. Looking for a Turk with that leg in. Down to 1:10 to go. Time ticking away here in this one as Parker has the leg in. Looking for that power half, but Germano not doing anything underneath. Still no stalling call yet. Now we're going to have a stoppage and a stalling on top instead. That makes no sense whatsoever, but a stalling call against Parker Ray while he's trailing 8-1 looking for a turn. Yep. So they force a reset, and Germano up to his feet on the reset. Parker Ray trying to drive him out of bounds, throws him into the bench, and they're going to hit Parker for stalling again. So a stall call on Parker Ray is going to be a point. And Coach Clay heading the table after that one. As both, that one you can see a little bit more logic for, but Germano was the one taking himself to the edge.
Yeah, you know, he was exploding up and actually pretty much running away, you know, and all Parker did was try to follow, and when they ran off the mat, they headed into the bench. Still an interesting call there, that third stalling one. A lot of the times you don't see that call, especially when the guy on top is trailing, you know, and working the turn.
Yeah, and I mean, that puts this match into major decision territory without Germano even getting the escape. So two stalling calls could be a big difference in this match, as Germano he's going to be set just to ride this one out on bottom. He's got his 8-point lead. He's got his bonus point for his team. And Parker Ray trying to do everything he can. He needs one turn to trim it down to a decision. But one turn with Parker Ray at his legs in could be the end as well. As we've got 20 seconds to go, Germano on his belly, tying up Parker's arm, and Parker's going to get hit for an unfortunate like here. Yep. Parker trying to do too much now, as he was trying to show that he was working, being offensive, came down with a pretty hard forearm to the back of Germano's head, and they're going to hit him for the unfortunate like, and a 10-1 lead now for Tegan Germano. But, I mean, that could end up a big thing, too. An unsportsmanlike call is one of the tie-breaking criteria if things come to a head and the Vandals end up tied. That is one of the tie-breaker criteria, is unsportsmanlike calls in a match. So we'll see if that one comes back to bite the Vandals. But they trail 15-0 after these first four weight classes, and trying to turn things around here. As we move to 175, it's going to be Ryan Rink at Solano Unity. Ryan Rink, a 40-9 senior. And we'll see. Looks like it's going to be Artan Mustafa coming out. So Mustafa and Ryan Rink set to battle in this one. Rink, a sudden victory win over Ross Miller last week in the state consolation semifinals. But he will match up with Artan Mustafa this time. And actually, this is Abram Davidson, not Rink. So we could see Rink move up to 90 with Ross. So Abram Davidson was a state qualifier at 165, as was Artan Mustafa. But Davidson, deep fireman's carry. He's got Mustafa in trouble. Artan trying to fight off his back. And the Vandals just slow off the start so far this morning. Trailing by 15. Artan able to roll out of it at least. And now trying to work his way to his feet. The four near fall and the three-point takedown is a 7-0 lead for Abram Davidson. As the Vandals just getting stunned here early, it feels like. And not a lot of energy coming from the bench. It's hard to get that juice going when you haven't won a match yet.
Yeah, in these big duels like this, you really need somebody on the bench to step up and work to get the team in it, because that actually has an effect on the duel, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like confidence you get when you hear the bench going wild and you're out there on the mat. I mean, it's really all the team can do to support you in that situation. But it is a tough spot to be in for Artan Mustafa, as Davidson has an arm bar, but they will work their way out of bounds. But 45 to go here in the first period. As Artan will be set on bottom. This is the first time they've lined up that way.
Yeah, he's backwards.
But Davidson will go ahead and give the escape to make it 7-1 here in this first period. 45 to go on the reset. Artan reaching across, looking for his own fireman carry this time. Davidson keeping his hips back, hard snap, trying to chase the corner. He gets it. He's going to get the takedown. He's looking for a turn out of it. He's going to take Artan right over his head. Artan in trouble. 25 to go, trying to fight off his back. He's got a belly down here, but it's going to be a takedown and another four count. 14-1 in this first period. As Davidson's gone feet to back twice and really put on a clinic on his feet so far. As down under 3 seconds, we will end this first period. 14-1 deficit for Artan Mustafa. As it's going to be Davidson's choice. He's going neutral and looking to finish off the tech ball here with one more takedown. As the tech ball, anything 15 or more in a win. And Davidson underhook, trying to drive Mustafa to the edge, and he will. So, force him out of bounds, 1:53 on the clock. Fake there from Davidson. Nothing going. Now looking for a Russian tie on Artan's left hand. Artan into an underhook. Tries to drop it in on a shot, but Davidson just going to drag him down, get the takedown, and take the win. So 20-0 here in this one. And the Vandals turn to Ross Miller trying to turn things around. And I don't know. Oh, you got to love the growth and the progress Ross has been making.
Yeah, he's had a really good season, you know. Last summer, he did some off-season wrestling, was in the weight room quite a bit. He's filled out a little bit. I feel like it's had such a big boost on his confidence, and it's shown this season.
Yeah, I mean, able to ride that confidence all the way to the state semifinals, finish in sixth place in his first trip up there. I mean, that's an incredible accomplishment in itself. And he's looking to help lead the team to team glory here as they trail 20-0 in this semifinal. And really, what's one of the biggest deficits they've been in all season. So, I mean, one match can turn things around. And Ross and Ryan Rink have been a pretty tight match so far this season. Ross into a double underhook, looking for a bear hug, though. Trying to drag Rink's hips back in. Rink able to break the lock. Now Rink trying to come underneath, and he drops in on a double. Big shot there from Rink, and he's able to get the takedown. Now he's got both boots in, and just trouble brewing for the Vandals. As we're down to a minute 20 in this first period. Ross Miller bellied out, now trying to drag his knees back under him. He's got the legs out, now working up to his feet. Rink knows where they're at. He's controlling the edge, trying to keep Ross inbounds here. As we're down to a minute here in this first period. Here at 190 pounds. Still eight weight classes to go, so not quite to the halfway point in this duel. The Vandals need something going as they trail 20 to nothing and starting to and have really worked through a state placer and two state qualifiers already.
Yeah, just a lot of a duel comes down to somebody just stepping up, especially when you get down 20-0 in this case, you know. Yeah. Just having that one win can kind of light the fire underneath the rest of the team and just help them to come up and maybe wrestle a little better.
Exactly. I mean, it just takes one win to shift the momentum, and right now it's all on Colono Unity's side. But Ross in on a single leg trying to come around the corner. He pops his head out looking for the reversal. Rink drops in on a shot, and he's going to stuff it. Ross up to his feet trying to get his escape at least. 13 to go. Rink looking for a half. He's got it deep, and he's going to finish on top, as that'll do it for the first period. Ross initiated a good scramble there, but Rink able to control it and finish out with a 3-0 lead after that first period. It's going to be Ross's choice. He's going underneath, so another opportunity on a fresh start here. Full two-minute period, ready to go. Ross set. Rink covers left side. Sit out and up to his feet for Ross Miller. Reaching back looking for a neck wrench. Big lift there from Rink, setting back down. As Ross brought back down, trying to work his way up. Here at 190 pounds. Now Rink with a leg in. He's got both boots in and he's got Ross extended, able to knock the elbows out and drop Ross Miller down to his belly. Trouble here at 190. The Vandals trailing by 20. Ross Miller trailing by 3 in this matchup. As Rink looking for a half on the right side, deep half. Ross peels it off, trying to work his head up now. As Rink still looking for those legs coming in. He's got the left one in, now trying to take Ross's right arm. As Ross needs to peel the hand off. And looking for a ball and chain on top now is Ryan Rink. He's got an arm bar now on the right side. Under a minute to go here in the second period. As Rink has the arm bar now on the right side. Ross trying to work to his feet. He's got to bring his elbow kind of, he's got to bring his elbow down to his side. Get his hit, get his arms tight and his chest under him before he can start working his way up. But he's got 30 seconds to do so. Now he's up to his feet, trying to peel hands. Big lift from Rink, and he's able to bring Ross back down. So Ross working well, getting up to his feet, but can't quite finish it off because we got 15 seconds left. Ross trying to come back up. Rink looking for a Mills half. He's got a deep half. He's got the far ankle. Now Rink's high. Ross trying to throw his hips over. Short time, 8 seconds to go. Ross coming out the back. He's got to try and pop his head out. Short time, 3, 2, 1, but he will run out of time. As Rink able to ride it out, and Rink will choose bottom to start this third period. A 3-0 lead from Ross Miller. A deficit, rather, for Ross Miller. Ross is going to go ahead and choose neutral. So back to their feet, 4-0, the deficit now for Ross. As he's got to try and open the rink up. It was a 9-9 match before the overtime period last time, so a lot more scoring. And Ross able to put points on the board quick. He's got a front headlock now, trying to cut the corner. Hard snap drags Rink down. And Rink trying to come out with a peek out now. 30 seconds gone. Ross in this front headlock trying to drag Rink to the mat. Big snap there from Ross trying to cut the corner. Looking for a near side cradle. He's got it locked up. He's got Rink on his side. There's a takedown. There's swipes. Ross Miller looking for the finish. And this is what we were talking about. This could be the momentum shift as Ross has the takedown, has the near fall, and the lead in this one. He's looking for the fall.
Yeah, he really needs to keep this locked up and keep working for this fall here. And he's going to circle back around and take his near fall.
A minute to go. He will take the points and a 7-4 lead after Ross Miller able to go feet to back and get the takedown and turn. So a big-time move there from Ross Miller. He's able to showcase some of that newfound strength in the offseason and just force the cradle to go. Now big lift, Rink on his feet trying to get away. Ross has got to drop down short time before a stall call comes. And there's the stall call. Ross able to get the grip and drag Rink back down. 25 to go. Rink still trying to work to his feet. Ross looking for a sag cradle here. But Rink able to catch the hand and get the escape. So 7-5. Ross has been hit for stalling. 10 seconds to go. Ross trying to hang on and take this decision. As he's got a circle on the edge. Short time. And he will do it. So the Vandals get on the board finally, and Ross Miller putting the Vandals on the board with a 7-5 decision win.
And, Jake, we see the Vandal crowd finally having a little life in them, bench getting up, clapping, and that's what we talked about, is just having that one thing to kind of give your team some fight, you know?
Yeah, I mean, early morning match, they weren't the first match this morning, but it's first match for all these guys. Everybody needs to get that energy going. And, I mean, once the crowd gets into it, it's a whole different factor.
Yeah.
Crowd and the bench at your back, you're ready to go. But now we'll move to 215, and Caden Tidwell will step out for the Vandals. Tidwell, third last weekend at the individual state tournament. And we'll see who his matchup is. It's going to be Hunter Easton. So Easton and Tidwell. Easton was a state finalist, or no, he got dropped in the semis last week, and he's got Tidwell dropped. Tidwell was on his back, but no score and no change as they wrestle through the position. Tidwell back to his feet, and they go out of bounds. So Easton was able to wrestle back to sixth place last weekend after being a state champion the year before. And working his way back to sixth place finish as a senior. Tidwell finished third last weekend. And these guys, a tight matchup the last couple times they've met. Easton has a Russian tie on Tidwell's left arm. Tidwell has head position, though. And now Easton, drag and into a shot. Referee's talking things over, and no takedown as they go out of bounds. So good hips and mat awareness there from Caden Tidwell. 105 to go here in this first period. As Tidwell fakes, goes to the leg, nothing there. 55 to go here in this first period. And Easton back into that Russian tie, now down into a single. Tidwell trying to find his Whizzer, as Easton's going to take his back and take Tidwell to the mat, but no takedown. Tidwell scrambles, throws him off, and now Tidwell has Easton's back. Easton finding a Whizzer, looking for a seatbelt position, as Tidwell deep in an underhook. And now they will face, but no score, no change here in this first period. Vandals trailing 20-3. They are on the board finally. And now slap drag for Easton. Nothing there. 15 to go in this first period. As Tidwell trying to set up his offense, get Easton stepping. Tidwell likes to work from a lot of space. Easton has been controlling a rushing tie for most of this match. And now he has Tidwell's head, but they will end the first period scoreless. As we go to the second, it is Easton's choice. He's going underneath. So first points crucial in a tight matchup like this. As Easton set on bottom, Tidwell covers left. And we're going to have a caution on Tidwell. Just a little jumpy there. Now Easton to his feet. Tidwell with a leg in. And they're letting this go. As Tidwell's going to get hit for stalling. Tidwell had the leg in first. But still a stall call on Tidwell as he's trying to bring him back down. And now Tidwell going to have to cut him. So an escape there for Easton and a stall call in the bank for him as well. As Tidwell takes a chop from space. Nothing there. Drag into a deep high seat. Trying to dump here from Easton. Tidwell on a hip. As they're going to give Easton the takedown. As now swipes as well. And Tidwell in trouble here trying to roll it through. He's gotten away with that a couple times in this match already, but now Easton has him caught, and Tidwell trying to roll it through. As it is 4-0 after the takedown and make it 8-0 after the near fall. Tidwell's going to get the escape, so trim it to 8-1, but still a big deficit here for Caden Tidwell. As these upperweight matches are going to be so crucial as we flip the lineup over. The Vandals will be able to rattle off a few wins straight with the fresh lineup, but if they're in too big of a deficit, I mean, there's nothing they can do either.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. It's going to be interesting to see. I know that we can also maybe potentially find a spot for Sophie in the lineup, as I'm pretty sure the new rules state that as long as she doesn't go over 6 matches here at the girls' tournament, she can wrestle in the boys' duel as well.
Yeah, and she's had 3 already, so she could see action on the boys' side. As she was able to get a pin in her semifinal matchup this morning, punch her ticket to the finals. She will wrestle that starting at 2 o'clock. She will be one of the later weights, though, so we should see the broadcast around 3, but there is a shot and score at the end of the period here for Hunter Easton. And Caden Tidwell trailing by 10, 11-1 here as we head to the third. It's going to be Tidwell's choice, and he's going bottom. So frustration here from Tidwell. He is trailing by 10, set on bottom now. Easton covers right side. Hard chop there from Easton as he's looking for a head lever on Tidwell's right side. Tidwell keeping a base. He's got his elbow on the mat, trying to block off that head lever. Now Tidwell to his feet, gets the escape, and trims it within 9 as 11-2 the lead for Hunter Easton. But Easton, deep on that Russian tie, and now drives an underhook. Tidwell with an underhook of his own now on the left side. But he's going to forego that to get to the head. Easton with a shot attempt, nothing there. And right back into that Russian tie, fireman carry for Hunter Easton, and more trouble now for Caden Tidwell, as Easton has that low leg trap looking to cover Tidwell's head, as Easton trying to drag him back in. 14-2 our score, and Easton trying to lock up a low leg cradle near the edge of the mat. Tidwell is completely out of bounds. Easton has his feet in, and Tidwell trying to work up to his knees. But that's a tough spot to be. 50 seconds to go here in this third period. Easton still looking for the turn, as he's looking to add more bonus points. They will go out of bounds and force a fresh start. 42 to go here in this third period. Caden Tidwell trailing by 12 in a spot you don't see him in very often as one of the Vandal leaders.
Not just Caden, but it seems like the Vandals have struggled to get out of through a lead in all their matches so far. I don't know if we've seen a Vandal wrestler take the lead or score the first point so far.
Not yet, at least through the first 7, 8 weight classes in this one. We started things at 144, and it took until 190 for the Vandals to get on the board, as they're going to give Tidwell the escape. And now Easton in deep on another cradle, and that's going to be back points, the takedown, and a tech fall here. Unless Tidwell pops his head out, no near fall on that, actually. So Tidwell will get the reversal, make it 17-5, but still a 12-point win for Hunter Easton. A major decision over Caden Tidwell, and that's going to extend the Rockets' lead 24-3 here through the first half of this duel. As we move to the back half, 2:85 set to go, and Dominic Swire is coming out. He is ready for the Vandals, as he will match up with it looks like Dominic Swires for the Vandals. And this is going to be Jaden Denny, I believe. Jaden Denny, a senior here for the Rockets. Swires, a sophomore for the Vandals. Swires, a state qualifier at heavyweight. And Dean trying to control a Russian tie. We've seen a lot of Rockets coming out with that offense, setting up their single legs, setting up their attack, and the Vandals have just struggled putting any setups together. I mean, they're not getting to their underhooks that nearly everybody in the lineup's good at. Elbow passes, trying to create space, and really they're just letting the Rockets set the pace every match. So we got to see at least one Vandal come out and really establish their offense early and get things going. But Dean and Squires break tie, reset. 40 seconds gone here in this first period. As Dean, left-hand collar tie. Squires fighting inside. Both guys still sizing each other up this period. Down to 45 left in the first. As Squires, right-hand collar tie, looking for a snap and motion here. As Dean has about a foot of height on Swires, but Swires digging up a right-hand underhook. Now both guys in an over-under. Swires pushing Dean to the edge. He will back off, take the center again. Down to 20 seconds to go here in this first period. As both guys collar tie, forehead to forehead, Dom left-hand collar tie. Dean peels it off. Hard snap there from Swires. 10 to go in the first. As Dean trying to control wrist, Swires doing a good job breaking him off and getting control back, but they will run out of time in the first. We go to the second, scoreless here at heavyweight. Swires has choice, and he's going underneath, looking to get on the board first as he is set to go. And Dean will go ahead and just give the escape. So a 1-0 lead here for Swires. As Dean doesn't want any part of wrestling on the mat so far in this one. Both guys fighting hands, looking for control. Hard snap there from Swires, nothing doing. Dean, 2-on-1 on Swires' left wrist. Now trying to pull it into a Russian. Swires gets his arm back. And now Dean with a right-handed underhook. We see him pressure in. We could see Swires go to his Jap Wizard here. Kind of an arm spin if you're a freestyle guy. And Dean's going to get hit for stalling on the edge, backing his way out. And Swires is going to let him back in. Reset here. He does have a stall call in the bank now. 1:10 to go in the second. As we tick towards the halfway point in this match. 3 minutes gone. 3 to go. As Swires' right hand underhook drops in on a single leg. But he's got to stay on his feet, try to drive that up instead of bringing it to the mat. As now Dean sprawled out. Swires trapped underneath. Swires in a front headlock. Has his hips in the air. Trying to peel hands underneath. And he gets it, trying to drive into a double, but nothing there. But no score on that exchange. 30 seconds to go here in the second. And hard snap there from Swires, trying to jack up an underhook. He's got Dean's head controlled, trying to drag him back down. Lefty underhook here for Swires. Dean will clear out of it. Down to 10 seconds left in the second. As we are just over the halfway point, match number 8 of 14. And the Vandals trailing by 21. So they need to rattle off some points quickly. As we head to the third, it's going to be Dean's choice. He trails 1-0. As the Unity coaches talking things through, and they will go ahead and choose neutral.
Yeah, if I recall the match in December between the Vandals and Colono, Dominic Meyer wrestled the same kid, and it seemed like that whole match, this kid had very little offense, you know, so not a bad choice there going neutral because he's looking to score. But Dominic's done a really good job of controlling the ties and pretty much pushing the pace of this match. And
there's a stalling call again as Swires has Dean back to the edge, and Dean backs out. So a 2-0 lead for Swires on the reset.
And honestly, Dominic could probably get away with just continuing to do the same thing, control the ties, pressure in, and if he gets Dean to pressure back into him, you know, Dominic's got that arm drag, that arm throw. So,
yeah, he's just controlling the center now. As long as he keeps his back to the middle, he's going to look like the offensive wrestler when they get to the edge. But Swires looking for a tie. 1:10 to go here in this third and final period. A 2-0 lead for the Vandal sophomore. Has a hard snap there from Swires. He's got Dean off balance. Now looking for a right-handed underhook. Dean backing to the edge again. Swires trying to drag it down. Front headlock. Trying to pull him back in. He's going to drive Dean out of bounds. Get another stalling call. And honestly, at this point, I would just be pushing him to the edge. Try and get as many as you can.
Exactly what I was talking about, you know. Sometimes when you're a little undersized against another opponent, taking shots underneath might not necessarily be the smart move. So finding a way to score, and in this case, getting stalling points is what's going to be the deciding factor in this match.
Well, and especially the optics of it. I mean, yep. Dean has a lot of weight on Swires, but if he's the one controlling the center and controlling where the action, dictating where the action goes, I mean, you're going to be more lenient to give him the stalling call because,
absolutely.
I mean, he's undersized as a heavyweight, but still controlling the edge, controlling the pace, and there it is. Oh, that one's going to be on Swires as he just went straight to the edge. So a stall call on Dominic that time. But Dean needing a takedown here to tie it after a couple stallings this period. Down to 10 seconds to go, and Dean not showing any signs of wanting to be offensive. And that will do it for this one. So the Vandals pick up another win and trim that deficit 24-6 now as we flip the lineup over and head to 106. 106 Vandal freshman Aiden Evans waiting to go as he will match up with either Vince Abon or Ian Skibby. We'll see who Colono Unity sends out, and this is where the Vandals need to rack up some points. From 106 to 126, has every possibility to be four pins and put the Vandals in the lead.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to see how Aiden gets started here and expect the rest of the Vandals to follow suit. You know?
This is Vince Abon wrestling against Vandal Aiden Evans. As Aiden looking for a Russian tie right off the whistle. He's got Abon backed up to the edge. And now Abon circling in. Fireman's carry. Aiden Evans trying to cover the hips. He does. Beautiful takedown there from Aiden as we finally see a Vandal get their offense set up in the first 30 seconds and capitalize with a score. So Aiden Evans now looking for a cross-face cradle. He's got it turned under. He's got it locked up, and he's got Abon in trouble. Aiden Evans looking for the fall as he's got plenty of time and space to operate. There it is. Aiden Evans gets the fall in 45 seconds, and that is the spark the Vandals need.
Yeah, expect the next few matches to go pretty much the same way, you know. The Vandals line up 106 through 126, just nails.
Nails through and through as they trim, cut the deficit to just 12 points now, 24 to 12. And Max Philpott will get the nod at 113. And Colono Unity going to go ahead and forfeit out to the state champion as Max notches win number 50 in his sophomore campaign, the fastest Vandal ever to 100 wins. And he is continuing his perfect season, 50-0 so far in the year, and he brings the Vandals back within six as it is now 24-18. And we move to 120. We'll see the Vandals slide around a little bit as
looking like Robbie.
This looks like young Robbie coming out. He will match up with Ian's. No, this could be Zayden Mansfield or Bryce Martin.
They've got Bryce Martin up on the board right now. So
Bryce.
Robert McCoy and Bryce Martin.
Bryce Martin, Robert McCoy here at 120 pounds, which means the Vandals will have back-to-back Waffles at 26 and 32. But McCoy in deep on a shot. He's got a single leg in the air, trying to turn it back in center. Big lift, and he sets it down, getting the takedown here early as McCoy stepping up for the Vandals.
Robbie, one of the Vandals wrestlers has been on JV all year, been going to the tournaments, and I actually went to the Jacksonville tournament early on and helped coach and helped video the matches, and he was one of the wrestlers that really impressed me. And now, all season, working JV, practicing all day, he's getting his chance to shine here at the dual team state.
And stepping up in a big, big way, the young sophomore, 9-2 on the year, and he could have his biggest win yet, coming out, getting the first takedown on the Rockets, Bryce Martin. And putting himself up early with a minute two to go on the reset as Martin on bottom. McCoy covers left side, jumps back left. Hard chop as Martin trying to sit out. McCoy looking for a wrist, trying to lock up that cross wrist on the left side. Now working back to the right side. And the chop again into a head lever, trying to get that arm extended. As Martin doing his best to circle here, but McCoy has an armbar locked up on the left side, looking for that far wrist now, 30 seconds, has the armbar, looking for a turn, and now he's trying to pressure forward. He's got to get that shoulder to Martin's ear, trying to drive forward with that armbar, down to 13 seconds left, Martin. Doing a good job circling, staying out of danger here on bottom. But now McCoy, cross face, looking for a cradle. Martin trying to take it over the top and step up, but he's going to run out of time. So a big first period there for young Robert McCoy in what is undoubtedly the biggest match of his young career so far.
Yeah, coming up here as an underclassman, or even if it's just your first time up here in general, you know, it's a lot of pressure. And especially in a close duel.
Yeah, and I tell you, these official IHSA mats are a big turning point for a lot of young guys. I remember I was a sophomore, and I had a matchup with Litchfield, one of the Davidsons, and he'd majored me earlier in the year, and I ended up kind of hitting that switch, and it was a big turning point in my career. I got the win, and it gave me confidence heading into junior and senior year. And really turn my whole career around.
Yeah, there is something to be said about these mats and just about wrestling in an arena in general. You know, a lot of people here, good atmosphere.
Yeah, and it is a big atmosphere for McCoy. He's riding tough on top. As we've got 45 seconds gone in this first period, he's looking for a cross face now on top. as they go out of bounds. So a reset here again, 107 to go in the second period. As Martin set on bottom, McCoy covers left side. And hard chop there from McCoy. Now into a claw and spiral ride. Looking for that cross face now on top. He's got Martin broken down on his belly. 50 to go here in the period. And Martin's going to get hit for stalling underneath as he's bottling up. And now a deep cross face. McCoy's got a post. He's trying to walk it down. He's got it nearly locked up. But Martin able to get the hand over the top, and now he's coming up to his feet. McCoy following, but he's going to give the escape, and Martin right into a rush and tie, going to drive the action out of bounds, but he does get the escape. So a 3-1 lead here for Robert McCoy as back to their feet, 25 to go on the reset. Martin trying to tie up McCoy's wrist. McCoy got to clear out, get back to a tie he likes. He's able to score early in that first period and maintains a 3-1 lead after Martin. Now with a 2-on-1 on McCoy's left side. McCoy trying to throw it by. He jumps over the top and gets the takedown right at the end of the period. So a big-time takedown there from the Vandal sophomore. And he is establishing a 6-1 lead as we head to the third. It is going to be McCoy's choice. We're going neutral here for the third as he's looking to add on bonus points here, leading by 5. A takedown would put it into major decision territory, and a takedown and more is what's on McCoy's mind, but he's going to be hit for stalling as Martin drove him out of bounds. So on the reset, 12 seconds gone. A 5-point lead for Robert McCoy. Lefty single for McCoy, trying to circle his way to it. Good sprawl there from Martin as McCoy still driving in. He's got a hand on the single leg. Martin has his hips back. Good sprawl here. And both guys circling. McCoy going to pop his head out and reset. Martin, Russian tie, is going to drive McCoy off the mat, and they're going to hit McCoy for stalling. So a stalling point as he took more than 3 steps to get to the edge. So a reset here, 1-12. And now Martin chasing that Russian tie, just pushing McCoy around the mat. McCoy leading by 4. And now McCoy in on a shot. Double leg. He's got to get his head to a side, either side at this point. He's got Martin driven up, now into a seatbelt position. McCoy has the leg in. Martin's got a whizzer, but with the leg in, it doesn't matter. There's the takedown, and now looking for more as it's 9-2. McCoy leading big here in the third period. As Martin, trying to find a way to his feet, he gets to his feet and forces the reset out of bounds. So 9-3, make it 6 points to the young sophomore's lead. As we've got 30 seconds left here in this one, and McCoy right into a Russian tie. And he's going to break tie, reset. Martin trying to drive McCoy to the edge. McCoy got a circle here as he gets his back to the center. 15 seconds to go. Just got to survive one flurry here as we dip under 10 seconds. Now Martin trying to drive McCoy out of bounds. McCoy's going to get hit for stalling again, but this one doesn't matter as McCoy's going to almost get the takedown at the end. If they give it to him, it'll be a major, but not quite. But McCoy gets the big-time win for the Vandals in what was undoubtedly a swing match once they sent both these guys out there. But 24-21, the Vandals trail now. And raise that arm high, young fella. That is a big-time win, and the Vandal crowd lets him hear it. So 24-21 as we move to 126. And that will bring out Vandal sophomore Preston Waffle. Should, at least. Yep. as Preston heads the table. Preston, a two-time state finalist, runner-up this season, as he sits at 53-2. Both of his losses coming to Tennyson of Woodstock Marion. And he will match up with Zayden Manfield in a match that he is looking to put 6 points on the board as fast as possible, give the Vandals their first lead in this one. And Preston stalking here. Mansfield backing to the edge. Mansfield underhook. And nice single leg there from Preston. He's got it picked up, and he's got the takedown. As Mansfield trying to slide his way out of bounds, Preston drags him right back in and getting to his offense early. He's going to go ahead and cut Mansfield, taking down again, and just keep putting points on the board. Another lefty single. He drops Mansfield down to his butt, and he's going to catch it. Mansfield trying to grab for the arena floor, but Preston gets the takedown before they go out of bounds. So 6-1 after the two takedowns here for Preston Wassel. 1:21 to go in this first period. And Mansfield trying to come up to his feet. Wassel, hard chop, brings him back down. 1:15 to go here in this period.
And you've got to expect Mansfield's strategy to be save some points, you know, but that is not the side of the match I'd like to be on against Preston Wassel.
No. No, you are in a tough spot if you're trying not to get pinned, trying not to get tacked, because Preston is just constantly on the offense. He gets another takedown on the edge, and three takedowns in the first 1:08 of this first period builds him a 9-2 lead, and he's going to go ahead and cut Mansfield again, make it 9-3, as Wassel could do it solely with takedowns. We've seen it done many times before this season, as Mansfield gets his own shot off, and a Winn-Dixie here from Wassel puts Mansfield on his belly. And now Wassel trying to drive that ankle up, looking for a turn here out of this scramble. But he's going to settle for the takedown, make it 12-3. As now we'll see Mansfield try to clam up with short time left. 20 to go here in this first period. Wassel looking for a turn before the end. And down to 10 seconds to go. As Wassel riding tough on top, and he will finish the first period on top, 12-3 on the scoreboard. And it's going to be Preston's choice. He will defer it over to Mansfield. So Mansfield going underneath, or on top, rather. Wassel going underneath. So Preston set, Mansfield covers, looking to throw a leg in on the right side. And Preston going to catch the head, trying to roll it through, and he just immediately gets the reversal, making quick work of Mansfield's leg ride there. And now looking for a nearside cradle, trying to get it locked up. Mansfield bellying out, but Wassel walking that leg up towards the head, trying to get it turned underneath, looking for that nearside cradle. 30 seconds gone here in this period, but plenty of time to lock this up as Preston leading 14-3. Trying to work Mansfield's right knee to his head, but Mansfield able to belly out and get himself back to somewhat of a base here as Preston breaks him back down again. Preston looking for Mills half now. He's got the near wrist on the left side. Now switched to an arm bar on that same side. So he's got the left arm barred up. Mansfield trying to tie up Preston's feet with his. Is trying to keep Preston from getting out to the side and running this arm bar. But Preston driving towards that second bar as Mansfield almost got his arm out. Now a hammer lock here with the arm trapped behind Mansfield's back for Preston Wassel. But he loses that trap arm. Wassel leading by 11. So one turn could finish things here. Trying to find something tight with 30 seconds to go. As Mansfield, forehead on the mat, Wassel trying to drive him towards the edge. As that will force a reset here, 22 to go. So Mansfield is set. He's ready. And Wassel is going to cut him with 22 left, as that'll make it 14-4. And Mansfield, low single try, trying to drive in. Wassel looking for a low leg cradle out of it. And we'll see if he decides to take this takedown or if he just wants an opportunity to put him on his back here. As we take the takedown, we only have 2 points to play with, but he smartly stays out in front and gives himself a few more to work with.
Yeah, Preston put 12 points up in that first period, so kind of just easing off the gas there for a second, because if you continue to score, you're going to end up getting the tech ball instead of the pin, and that's the goal right now, is to get the bonus point.
Yeah, and now he gives himself at least 2 takedowns to be able to work towards the turn with a 10-point lead. And Mansfield drops in on a shot. He was hit for stalling. And Wassel had another opportunity to take the takedown, but he will force the action to the edge. 19 seconds gone in this first period. And Wassel, left-hand underhook. Now both unders. Gets a bear hug, but Mansfield's going to bail. And Mansfield doing everything he can to not get pinned here. As Wassel will look to ride here as Mansfield set. Wassel covers left side. Hard chop there from Preston. Preston. Tilt try here. He gets 2 swipes. And now digging a half with that right side. If he can jump his hips over, there it is. He's got a half buried. He's got Mansfield in trouble. There's the fall. Preston Wassel with the fall. Able to get it done. It takes him to the third, but he gets the ball and puts the Vandals in the lead for the first time in this matchup, 27-24, as we get into the last 2 weight classes. And any bonus points here from older brother Tyson locks up the duel. So the Vandals trailing for most of this match. But like we talked about, this first 106-126. And, I mean, you can extend it to 132, up to anywhere you want in this Vandal lineup. Everybody is tough once we get rolling.
Yeah, and, you know, it really started with just picking up a couple wins as we moved up to the heavier weights. You know, we got over to 106, and Aiden Evans just got it rolling.
Yeah. And now Tyson Wassel with a chance to clinch it and send the Vandals to the finals. Up by 3 here in the team score, 27-24, 2 matches to go. And any bonus point would put this out of reach for the Rockets, as Wassel, lefty single, looking for the head as he wants to lock up a cradle out of this. And it is Hunter Shika that is out ready to meet him, as they come back to center. Hunter Steich, actually, is a junior, 30-10 on the season. Was a state qualifier last weekend at 132 pounds. Tyson, of course, a 3-time state champion last weekend, cementing his legacy as one of the best of the best. He steps over a neck wrench. He's got Shike in trouble. And there's the fall. Tyson Wassel clinches things for the Vandals with the exclamation point fall. This one in 57 seconds. And you know that's got to feel good for Tyson and Preston, being on a team, competing for a team state championship, as they've done everything they could ever dream in their individual careers. They've never had a team and just a family bond like this, like you get in wrestling.
Yeah, both of those guys stepping up big time for the Vandals here to send them to the state championship.
Well, 33-24, we will have one more match. We'll see if the Vandals just go ahead and forfeit out, as they will send their way to the finals. Coach Clay pumping the crowd up, everybody excited, and the Vandals back to the state finals for the first time since 2018, as they go ahead and forfeit out 138 for a final score of 33-30. The Vandals take down the Colono Unity Rockets, get through a couple scares there, but they punch their ticket to the team state finals this evening at 6 o'clock. We will take a break, come back, and wrap this one up here on WKRV.